All right, Fright fans, we are back with another issue of Creepy. This is number 2. Remember, 35 cents back in the day. Crazy. Yeah, we're going to probably do one of these a day, I think, because they're so small, we can probably knock them out pretty easily. Okay, so let's get started. The greatest comic artists in the world bring you tales of suspense, horror, mystery, the unknown, and the weird. Hello again, little fiends. Welcome back to my dingy dungeon, and to this, the second issue of Creepy. Judging from the moldy sacks of fan mail thrown into the pit, it looks like some of you enjoyed our historic first issue. We've printed some of your comments in our new letters page this issue. Now sit back, relax, lock all doors and windows, and prepare for another adventure into the depths of Creepy. Okay, so we've got, Frank Frazetta on the cover there. I'm not reading all the mail, sorry guys. They're always the same, located in the seedier areas of town. Bright lights, gaudy games, like permanent miniature carnivals. You've seen one penny arcade, you've seen them all, or have you? So let's look in on some fun and games. I mean it, Phyllis. I've had it up to here. I've taken all I'm gonna take from you. Harry, I do not have to listen to this. It's bad enough at home, but on the street I won't take it. You shut up or I walk right away. That's right. I know this one, Phyllis. You walk out more than the Russian delegates, if you were any kind of wife. That's enough, Harry Gorman. I'm going straight home. I hope you have your key, because I won't be opening any doors for you. Phyllis, get back here. Or, all right, that tears it. One of these days. Fun and games. Try your luck. Test your skill. Lots of fun. How about it, mister? You dirty no-good tramp. Go ahead. Go. See if I care. I'll get even. You'll see. Fun and games, try your skill, mister, change your luck. Give me a dollar's worth of dimes. No, that's not how that works. Give me a dollar's worth of dimes. Boy, that Phyllis, she just keeps asking for it. Right you are, mister, fun and games make you forget all your troubles. She won't let up, not for a minute. I tell you, boy, sometimes I'd like to... Crack, crack, ping, 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 click. Cardboard birds, crummy cardboard birds, and I keep missing them. If that were old Phyllis, I bet I wouldn't miss. No, sir! Phyllis! Hey, why'd you stop, you lousy... Excuse me. Hey, why'd you stop, you lousy machine? Won't score my hits. Junk, thump, crash. Easy, mister, easy. Don't take it out on my machine. What? Letting off steam, right, mister? I know how it is. But you've got big troubles, and that's a little machine. Come on downstairs. I got just the thing for you. What is this? All this junk. Just broken down machines. Right this way. Just beyond all this, something special is worth the getting to.
What do you mean, something special? What's this gonna cost me?
Don't worry, it's worth it. Try it first, you'll pay later. Here we are.
It's just an old shooting gallery. But it's so dark, I can't even see the targets at the other end.
Here you go, just insert one of these clips.
Hey, I never saw a rifle like this in a shooting gallery. Looks like the one I had in the army. I wasn't bad with it. Just a little light on the target area. Good Lord, the target! That looks just like Phyllis standing down there.
That's the beauty of it. Just a stuffed dummy, but it always looks like who you want it to be. Otherwise, where's the satisfaction? Blast away.
But it's so lifelike.
Sure, but it's only a dummy. Go ahead and shoot.
Sure, only a dummy. A Phyllis. Phyllis. Yeah, Phyllis, take that. And that. And that. And that. That. Hey, what? Blam. Pow.
Phyllis! Good Lord! Phyllis, what's wrong with me? I've got to get out of here.
Home! See Phyllis! Taxi! Hey, cab! Phyllis, honey, I'm home. Phyllis, speak to me, darling. I'm sorry about the fight. Oh, my Lord. Phyllis! How did it happen? Just like the dummy in the Penny Arcade. The Hunchback! He's responsible for this. You, what did you make me do down there? Why, mister, it's just like I said. You'll pay later. Don't tell me you're still not satisfied. My wife is dead. I don't want that. Somehow you made me kill her. I want her back. I want Phyllis alive. Okay, okay. Never let it be said I didn't try to please a customer. All right, mister, you step in here. I close the door and your wife's alive. Test your luck. Try your skill. I want Phyllis alive. Make sure you stick to your bargain. Hey, it's pitch black in here. I can't see a thing. Wait. Wait a minute. What do I pay for this? That's better. Now, hey, I can't move. Phyllis! Phyllis, no! Yeah! Pow, pow, crack. Wasn't that fun, fellow fiendsters? So remember, next time you go into a penny arcade, don't go into the cellar, and when you go for change, dummy up, or you might pay. Hee-hee-hee! The end. If you believe in vampires, are you bats? Well, my doubting little friends, let's check the facts in Creepy's loathsome lore. As usual, the Greeks had a word for it. Vrekalakas. Vrekalakas. I'm not Greek, sorry guys. The vampire tradition is oldest in Greece, going back to the ancient times when blood sacrifice was a favorite pastime. Romans developed the quaint custom of drinking the blood of slain gladiators in the belief that it cured epilepsy and gave greater courage. 17th century Hungary produced Countess Elizabeth Bathory, who believed drinking and bathing in the blood of young girls preserved her beauty. Local residents found 650 victims excessive and ended the Countess's beauty treatments and the Countess. British vampire John George Ha believed the blood of elderly widows and... Well, hold on. He favored the blood of elderly widows and disposed of the remains in an acid bath. He was apprehended in 1949 when his ninth victim proved a slow dissolver. Even today, vampirism affects us. As in our speech with expressions like something I can sink my teeth into and bloodsucker. So when a friend says I'll bite, watch it. He actually might. Spawn of the cat people. Good Lord, a black panther in New Mexico? Yeah! Morning mists and half light make it tricky. Gotta be careful or I might. Pow! Blast, it's getting away. I'm sure I winged it. Beware, cat people. Ugh. Poor devil's had it. What was he trying to tell me? That'll keep the wildlife away until I can bring help. I've heard there's a small town tucked away near here. Better make it for there. Town must be near. Where else could the man have been from? He was no vacationing hunter like me. Strange business. Man-eating black panther. Hope the town's large enough to raise a posse. Hey, what's this? Who are you, stranger? What do you want? My name's Todd. I'm a hunter from the city. Are you men insane? Untie that girl. Don't interfere. We know what we're doing. A curse inherited from her father is on this girl. We got the father, now we want her before more damage is done. While that girl lives, our whole town is threatened. She's the daughter of a foreigner who married a woman of our town. His tainted blood flows in her veins. Superstitious drivel. The girl's coming with me. Not if we can help it. This way. I know a place where we can hide from them. They're mad as hornets. Can you travel with that wounded leg? It's only a scratch. Some scratch looks almost like a bullet wound. I've an instinct for this. How can you make your way through here? It's more an animal path than a trail. Hurry, they can't be too far behind. Amazing, she leaps from rock to rock as gracefully as a cat. Hold it, let's take a breather. I need to rest, and there are a few things I'd like to ask. But it's just a little further, and... Puma! Don't shoot! You'll give away our position! She's just staring at the cat, How? Not now, the cave's just ahead. Cave? It could be the den of that puma. How do you know about these things? My father showed me when he took me hunting. Come on in, it's dark and cozy. Safety at last. Your eyes in the darkness, they glow just like a cat's. Cats, that's what the man meant this morning. Beware cat people. People who can turn into panthers like you did when you killed that man I found. This time I won't miss. Pow, pow, pow. We found you, stranger. You and the girl might just as well come on out. You can relax. I've done the job for you. I was so blind, ignoring your warnings or animal instincts in the woods. If it hadn't been for her eyes, those great cat eyes glowing in the dark. She had her mother's eyes, all right. Too bad, that was all. Just like her outsider daddy could have caused a lot of trouble. In a town where everyone else can change into a cat. Don't let him near the rifle. He almost killed me when I took care of the girl's father this morning. Yeah! Tut, tut, tut. Looks like chow time, and also time for another one of my yelling yarns. New iron-on monsters. The newest way to monsterize your shirts, t-shirts, sweatshirts, jeans, jackets, notebooks, anything. Each is in full color. These are actually kind of cool. Dracula, Frankenstein, the Creature, the Phantom, the Wolfman, and the Mummy. Oh, that's actually pretty cool. And remember, iron-ons are still a thing we do today. Many, many years later. A Chamber of Horrors guillotine. Well, I could use one of those. Human skeleton. Parts snapped together. No gluing, no painting. Moves into any position. I think they use those as, like, models now for, you know, biology science classes. I think those are the same. No, that's got the little circle at the top. So that's one of those small cheap ones you can get at the dollar store. Psst. Listen to creepy creeps. Follow your ghoulish guide down into a museum storeroom where five men examine their archaeological treasure recently rifled from an Egyptian pyramid from the ancient tomb of Pharaoh Akhenaten. Instead of Akhenaten, it's Akhumum, whose life-after-death preparations had included the Wardrobe of Monsters. Gentlemen, we are ready to unseal these unusual extra sarcophagi we brought back, found along with Akhumum's mummy. Will this bring a curse upon us? I've heard such things before. Poppycock! The dead have no power over the living, Todd. Open it, Baxter. Good lord, a winged corpse. A winged corpse like a vampire. Amazing. What will the other caskets hold? Help me open them, Murchison. As three more lids creak open, the macabre mystery multiplies. A beastman, or perhaps werewolf, a satanic devilman. A misshapen, unhuman patchwork like Frankenstein. What do you make of it, Reichman? Pah! Artificial forms, Parletti. Even if they feel like cold flesh and blood. Androids, biorobots, synthetic creatures, whatever you will. Invented by the Pharaoh and his traditional death companions, that's all. He's talking about androids and biorobots. Man, They're in a couple centuries ahead of us. These hieroglyphics, what do they say, Baxter? It is slow work deciphering the inscriptions, worn and faded. Give me another week, gentlemen. You're the expert, Baxter. We'll withhold announcing this major dynastic find until then. Fame for all of us and fortune, the archaeological bonanza of this century. I'll work nights and hurry up my decipherings, gentlemen. Night after night, Arnold Baxter laboriously pieces out the hoary messages, starting with the pharaohs. Wardrobe of bodies? Good heavens! Does it mean his astral spirit is supposed to put on those bodies like wearing clothes? Translating from one of the other sarcophagi should give the answer. An eerie answer, indeed. To inhabit first form, touch magic amulet. Pronounce charm, Zotsul. Balderdash, of course, a pharaoh's mad dream of escaping from his dried dead mummy and living new lives by donning his wardrobe of waiting bodies. I'll try the mumbo-jumbo myself for laughs. Zotzeel! Startled, Baxter feels strange forces wrenching him, turning him inside out, tearing him asunder, and then... my body, lying there, yet I seem to be detached, wafting into the sarcophagus towards that monstrous form. It can't be. It can't be. I'm wearing the vampire's body. No, is my mind. My mentality trapped within this loathsome form. I want to get out. Help! Instantly at his wish command. Thank heaven, it seems I can enter or leave this vampire form at will. It's like putting on and taking off a suit of clothes. No one knows of this, not even my colleagues. Other thoughts arise as Arnold Baxter's detached psyche again dons the evil form in the sarcophagus. Why share the worldwide acclaim and awards to come for discovery? And why split up the pharaoh's treasure five ways when I can reduce the number one by one? Who can trace the murder trail of a vampire back to me? Ah, 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 ah! Instead of the ah he did, which sounded retarded. Henry Murchison first. He'll pass from temporary sleep into eternal repose. Silent, bat-like wings carry the monstrous killer back to the museum, and number one, out of the way. And nobody the wiser that I, Arnold Baxter, did it. Perfect. Perfect. Next day, it will go into the unsolved cases. Rounding up homicide suspects, the police never include vampires. But just to make the series of crimes more baffling, I'll use all the monster forms. And that night, now to use the second specimen in the wardrobe of bodies, Zotzeel. Wearing the wolfman form, I'll go after Parletti, another part of the city. Grrr! Hello, Parletti, and goodbye! Loping unseen back to the museum. Two down, two to go! Ah! See, it sounded stupid. Baxter has a caller the next day. Timothy Todd? What? First Murchison, then Parletti. Which of us will be the next victim of the Pharaoh's retribution? It must be that. Baxter, is there any mention of a curse upon those who defile Ak-Gumum's tomb? Not a word, Todd. Supernatural rot. With his weak heart, Murchison probably had a stroke. And perhaps a wild dog attacked Parletti. I don't know. It's still more than sheer coincidence that two of our colleagues should die so suddenly. Another death, if not my own, and I go to the police. You just appointed yourself number three, Todd, tonight. As midnight tolls, they say it is not moral aversion, but only risk of being caught that deters men from crime. That without fear of punishment, any man will commit murder to benefit himself. And why not? Yes, why not? I, Arnold Baxter, stand to gain glory and gold with no fear of retribution from the law. Ha! Muttering aloud fearfully, Timothy Todd has shunned bedtime in his secluded suburban home. I'll be on guard all night. Doors, windows, everything bolted shut. Nothing or no thing can come upon me by surprise. You forgot the chimney, Todd! Yeah, that thing in the flames! The Pharaoh's devilman! Bam! Bam! If flames failed to stop me, do you think bullets would? Yes, Todd, it's a curse, all right. The Baxter curse! Ha! After Baxter re-inhabits his own body at the museum, there is only one other possibility of interference in my plans. The Pharaoh's astral spirit, if it still lingers within his long-dead corpse. But I'll fix that. Fuming acid for cleaning ancient relics pours in. That finishes Pharaoh Akumum, mummy, astral spirit, and all. His wardrobe of monsters is mine. Now all mine. Meanwhile, at the third gruesome headline, Baxter, Eric Reichman here. One death, even two deaths I could take, but three of us? Shocking.
and ominous. Only you and I left now, Baxter. I'm coming to talk this frightening business over with you this evening. I'll be waiting for you, Reichman. An ambush! Ha! Out of the night shadows as Reichman arrives. What are you saying, Reichman? Take my share of the Pharaoh's loot? How kind of you! Later in the storeroom. But where is my body? It's gone! Hearken, Arnold Baxter. When you destroyed my mummy, you awoke my slumbering astral spirit. The dead Pharaoh's voice. No, wait. Oh, Lord, now I know. It's my own voice from my body. Your body, Baxter. And now belongs to me, Pharaoh Akumum. And in return, you have my wardrobe of monster forms forever. Well, kiddies, if you ever see a lumbering shape pass by your window, chances are it's Arnold Baxter looking for his own body. Ah, ah, ah. Well, anyway, stay tuned because Uncle Creepy has another tale to stun you with. End. And now a few words about werewolves stretched up from Creepy's loathsome lore. As you know, some of my best friends are werewolves, and if any of you monsters think they don't exist outside this dungeon, well, read on. And I have met people that believe they're werewolves. In Texas, no less. Yeah, true story. I don't know if they still think they're werewolves, but at the time they did. Man's assuming a wolf-like state goes back to the dawn of time when prehistoric man found it necessary to band into wolf packs to hunt game and sometimes each other. Werewolf legends spread among ancient Norsemen because of berserkers, fierce warriors who charged into battle like madmen, hideously garbed in wolf pelts. The wild coasts of medieval Scotland were terrorized by the Bean Clan, a family living like wolves in a cave who practiced cannibalism and robbed and killed nearly 1,000 victims. Far later in France, a young herdsman, Jean Grenier, claimed the full moon transformed him into a man-eating wolf with over 50 people dead by his hands. Authorities were inclined to agree. Now, with mental institutions and psychoanalysis, cases are more rare. Yet, a full moon inevitably signals a rise in crime and mayhem. They've done studies on that. Coincidence? Perhaps. But when the full moon beams, pick your company with care. Through the New England countryside, a car travels slowly. Inside, its occupants are bored, secure and unaware how much terror the next few seconds will bring.
Great. The studio sends us hunting for a movie location and all we find is fog. It's slow going, Randy, but it could be much worse. Welcome, stranger. Blowout! Watch it, Mark. We're swerving off the road.
Woo! Close call. You okay, Randy?
This road's littered with broken glass and nails. You'd need a tank to come through without a flat. How's that tire?
You mean tires? We blew the back one out. We blew out the back one also.
Oh, great. Two flats and one spare. We're stuck.
Listen, that sounded like a girl screaming.
It came from this direction.
Look!
I think you're hearing things, but if this town is a place to fix those flats, I forgive you.
This is amazing. A crossroads hamlet right out of the movie script.
This fog's creepy enough without drawing parallels like that. Remember, that script is a horror story.
Hello, anybody home?
Seems deserted, a little too far off the beaten path, even for one of our horror movies. Locked up tight and not a soul to be stirred. Gives me the willies.
I know what you mean. It's, listen, bells.
Bong, bong, bong.
On the hill, a church. Everyone must be there for some kind of service.
In the middle of the week?
Randy, the windows and doors.
Boarded up, like they don't even use it anymore.
Eee! That scream again, from out back. There's something going on in that cemetery.
A gathering of people. It must be a funeral.
The fog is lifting.
Maybe we can see.
Good Lord! They're tying that girl beside the open grave like some kind of sacrifice.
Intruders, observing the sacrificial rites.
This is the 20th century.
What kind of superstitious mumbo jumbo do you think you're pulling here? Untie that girl and leave her alone. The blasphemers would halt the sacrificial ceremony. Take them. You wanted to free the girl? Very well, we will release her. And you can take her place.
Vene, facere, omnes malos!
That chant, what's he trying to do? It's almost as though he's calling something out of that grave. Listen, in the grave I can hear noises. Something's in there. It's coming out.
Yeah!
Surprise! Our play acting sure fooled you, huh? Great idea to convince you our town's the right location for your horror movie. Say, what's the matter? Can't you boys take a joke? Good Lord, what have we done? Doc, what's wrong? They won't be shooting any movie here. We were too convincing the first time. These men are dead from fright.
Well, kiddies, things got pretty grave for them two city fellers, yuck yuck. Well, that's one way to get even with the movie companies that turn out those horrible horror movies and give us creeps a bad name. Now get set for another creepy tale.
Heh, heh, heh. Hello, kiddies. Ever been misunderstood? Try to be good and all you get is a kick? Well, that's what happened to my metal friend, Adam Link. Try as he did to do well, all those kind, understanding people only wanted to destroy him. If you've ever felt this way, you know what I'm trying to say. Well, here's his sad story in his own words, which he appropriately calls iRobot. My Creation by Adam Link. Much of what has occurred puzzles me, but I think I am beginning to understand now. You call me monster, but you are wrong. Utterly wrong, as I will prove in writing. I hope I have time to finish. I was created through the past 20 years by Dr. Charles Link. So many of you seem to have doubts, but I am a true robot made of wires and wheels, not flesh and blood. 6 months ago, Dr. Link's patient labors were nearly done. Now to close the skull plate, Terry. Then connect the pelvis battery. Will he, it, come alive? My first conscious recollection was seeing and hearing my creator, Dr. Link, and his little dog, Terry. But the sounds and sights were confused. I lay still for 3 days before I felt the urge to move and arise. Quiet, Terry. He is chained in his present blank mental state. He might blunder off witlessly. He is like a baby. A human baby slowly becoming aware of the world around him. He hears you bark, Terry. Turns his eyes to see you. But is his electronic brain really alive? Will it memorize? Associate? Think? For 3 days, like a worried father, Dr. Link wondered if I had been born a hopeless idiot or perhaps a dangerous monster. For suddenly, as if angered by the dog's barking, look out! The robot could crush you easily in his powerful hands. Is he nothing but a monster? Arf! Arf! Yip! But my next act in swift reflex changed Dr. Link's mind, as Terry's yelp of pain made me realize him instantaneously. Yip! Yesterday, the robot saw that when I stepped on your tail, you yelped in pain. He now associated pain with the grip of his hand and let you go. Memory association, the sure sign of a living brain. No longer afraid, Dr. Link unchained me. I learned to walk in 3 days. First, watching Terry, I crawled on my hands and knees. Then, like a child discovering the thrill of added height on stilts, I struggled upright. And soon, Dr. Link was parading me up and down outside the garden until my stride became steady. I also learned to talk in 3 days. The names of objects and verbs demonstrating action were rapidly added to my memory banks as fast as Dr. Link could speak them. Now repeat. Book. Paper. Excuse me. Book. Pen. Paper. Telephone. Terry. Dog. He runs. He barks. He jumps. Under my creator's tutoring, I learned reading at phenomenal speed. In a week, I graduated to adult books, then scientific abstracts. A vast fund of information from his well-stocked library poured into my retentive brain. Your brain will be saturated with knowledge soon, if I last carrying them. Retired and living by himself, Dr. Link only had a cleanup woman coming in once a week. When the first Saturday of my active life rolled around and she arrived for her dates. Eee!
Dr. Link, help! That thing! Help! Having never seen me assembled before, the frightened lady had no idea I was an invention of Dr. Link. It's only my robot, who was testing the full jumping powers of his mechanical muscles. She fainted. Perhaps, Dr. Link, it would be wise for me to stay locked in the storeroom and read on the day she comes. Oh! A trivial accident. A far more important milestone was reached 3 months after my awakening to awareness. Dr. Link one day spoke to me, not as teacher to pupil, creator to machine, but man to man. Recalling how in 20 years he had perfected my iridium sponge brain, sensitive to the impact of an electron. It is the sensitivity of human thought itself which is akin to your microcircuits of electrical flow. You mean I think like humans do? What Dr. Link replied truly startled me. Yes, therefore you are not merely a thinking robot or a metal man. You are a new kind of life. Able to independently think, reason, and perform, your kind can be of inestimable aid to mankind. But your training must continue. Dr. Link now revealed the full details about my inward mechanisms and taught me to become self-sufficient. That battery must be replaced every 48 hours. Electricity is your food, your very life. Without it, you are so much metal junk. Dr. Link explained how all my other parts and devices had been ingeniously designed, and I soon knew more of what made me tick than any human knows of his organic complexity. But the human body is a marvelous organic machine that no robot can match through evolution. Nature had 20 long ages to perfect her robots. Dr. Link only had 20 years with me. Amusingly, yes, I too have a sense of humor. Dr. Link's occasional gardener simply could not accept me for what I was at first sight, though he did not share the housekeeper's panic. How do you do, Jenkins? Dr. Link asked me to introduce myself. I am an intelligent robot. Yeah, trickery. There's a tape inside or something, Dr. Link. That thing can't be intelligent. I'm afraid Jenkins doesn't realize my robot is more intelligent than he is. In fact, you have the intellectual capacity of a very brilliant man. If so, I will continue to program into my brain all the knowledge I can. The weeks slipped by as I went through Dr. Link's scientific library, scanning a page at a time with my TV eyes. Fully trusting me, Dr. Link did not turn my off switch when he slept. Requiring no sleep, I studied through each night. And one day came the most thrilling moment of my short 6 months of life, as Dr. Link stared at me proudly. Yes, Master? Don't call me Master. You will soon be ready to take your place in the world, become a citizen, live among men as an equal. But now, what name shall we give you? In one sense, you are my son. In another, you are the first of your race. What better than to combine the two and announce you to the world as Adam Link? What Dr. Link's actual plans for me were, I will never know. The next day, my kindly creator was dead. I was reading in the library when I heard a thud and groan, and after I rushed into the laboratory, I found Dr. Link with his skull crushed by a loose angle iron that held up his high voltage transformer. Dr. Link, I see blood. He lies so still. By chance, it was Saturday, and as the cleaning woman came and took one look in the window, seeing me raising Dr. Link's head to examine the wound, she fled screeching. Yeah, that robot! That horrible monster! He killed poor Dr. Link! I knew it would happen! I hardly heard or realized the significance of her cries. I was staring down at my dead creator and friend. Little Terry whimpered beside the body. He felt the loss of his master. So did I. I am not sure how humans would feel over this, Terry, but to me the sunlight suddenly has faded. Well, my life with Dr. Link is a closed book. He planned for me to take my place out in the world as a citizen. I will take a fresh battery and carry out his wishes now. I heard a dog is man's best friend, even a metal man's. Terry followed me into the woods surrounding Dr. Link's place. Where is the end of this forest, Terry? I've never been away before to any town or city. I'm afraid I'm lost. I was relieved when I came upon a little girl waiting in a nearby brook. My microphonic voice startled her, and when she turned to see my alien form, please, miss, I need directions. Eek! A horrible creature! She lost her balance, in danger of drowning. Kneeling at the edge, I grasped her wrist to pull her out. Forgetting my strength, her wrist bone snapped. Crack! I'm sorry to cause her pain, but I'll save her life anyway. Eee! But all of this was misinterpreted when you others of her picnic party answered her cries. Dr. Link's robot escaped, went berserk, tried to drown little Francis the Fiend. Drive him away! You drove me away in blind hate, and the next morning your posse was hunting me down like a wild beast. There's the Iron Monster, Dr. Link's killer. Get him! Destroy him! I must run out of range, Terry. A well-placed bullet can slip through a joint and strike a vital spot within me. But the bullet that hurt me the most was the one that got Terry. Yee! Terry, my faithful dog, my only friend. I picked up his corpse and outdistanced the mob with my machine powers. I buried poor Terry silently. A robot cannot shed tears. Your joyful barks chasing me in the garden, licking my hand, I'll never forget. Goodbye, Terry. Forever. Another night of hiding motionlessly. Another dawn, and when I saw the parked car, I act much as a starving man finding food. Sluggish. Current low. This battery will replenish my powers just in time. It must be one of the posse's cars. The humans who seek my destruction. All day it was another grim game of the hunters and the hunted. I dodged, circled, backtracked, avoiding all your ambushes. But I was still completely lost. This way, men, he can't be far. How close I am, they don't suspect. But how will this end? Where can I go without meeting more humans? More unreasoning hate and fear. At dusk, my electro pulse leaped at a familiar sight. Dr. Link's home. By luck, I had circled back to it. No guards around. Evidently, they took Dr. Link's body away for burial. The ceremony I read about in books. Dr. Link's effects had been sorted, and I found the book he had kept in his private desk. Kept hidden from me. Why? Now I understand. Like me, this poor creature was hounded, though innocent. Why must humans instantly believe that a created creature must turn against its creators? I could not control the sudden anger tiding over me as I saw the posse approaching, having picked up my heavy metal-made footprints. Beware, you human monsters! Beware that you do not make me the monster you call me! Your posse came on, surrounding the house, cutting off all escape. I could see your flares and feel the black hatred within you. The robot monster is trapped! Come on, we'll storm inside and smash him to bits! With my mighty machine powers, I could have rammed through your lines, but it would only have been at the cost of several human lives. That is precisely the reason my hand is on the off switch, ready to blink out my life before you rush in. Ironic, isn't it, that this monster cannot force himself to take even one human life to save one, Adam Link. Tut, tut. See, kiddies, what happens? But don't cry too hard, because this is only the first story of the adventures of Adam Link. Look for more in future issues of Creepy, your ghoul's guide for bitter reading. Ooh, I like that we're going to get more Adam Link. It's an interesting story here. Own a giant fly. Sticks on wall, full color, over 8 inches wall. Wow, look, it's on the wall! Miniature germanium radio. No batteries needed. No electric outlet. Wow, okay. It's only 3x2, yet it's powerful enough to pick up a local station broadcast. Giant 10-foot inflatable rubber snake. So lifelike, you'll expect it to hiss. Sit on it, float in water with it, have fun with it. 8mm motion picture projector, 988. Wow. Way before VHS, guys. The Dark Ages, fear and superstition abound, and a man traveling alone can never be sure. The next castle in the twilight is that of a friend? An enemy? Or is it even the ogre's castle? Turn back! The castle is cursed! Nothing there but monsters, sorcery, destruction! Months ago, my younger brother went off on a quest towards this castle. Now I seek him out. Aside, old man, warnings and wives' tales won't make me put off learning my brother's fate. Beware that his fate does not become yours! Another warn... Ooh, excuse me, guys. Another warning.
For men with weak arms and dull swords. From this tree, I'll have a view of the castle and what foes may wait for me there. You might be going in the castle's shadow gate, mate. Slimy walls and rotting timbers. No wonder the old man thought evil lurks there. No better spot. Wait, someone's coming out. A girl. In the hands of those monsters. Whether I like it may be too late to rescue my brother, but I can save her and avenge his name. The finest steel in the land is in the lance, a matching for their decaying gates. When you crash that gate, you sealed your doom, Sir Knight. Ogre, looking more toad than man, who are you to kill good knights and leave maidens to your monstrous men-at-arms? I guard this castle so none may enter or leave, and those that try, perish. I'll try and free the girl from your friends, starting first with your fat belly. Save your sword for my men-at-arms, good knight. Yeah! A good fight, but not yet over, Sir Knight. I've other surprises. At him, my pets. Bats, hundreds of them. But they can't take the flame.
Wow, this does feel like Shadowgate.
I'm left with only my dagger for a weapon, but the girl must be at the top of these stairs. Die, demon hound!
Definitely like Shadowgate.
Don't worry, my lady. Only the toad guardian of this place of evil is left, and he lacks the courage to stop our escape.
Well done, Sir Knight. But you can't win a race across this courtyard with an arrow from my crossbow.
No! But my dagger can! Ah!
What magic is this? The ogre changes before your eyes. This is no monster. It is my brother. What have I done?
Very well, Sir Knight. He was the best guardian ever at the castle till he opposed you. After all, a sorceress needs someone to keep fools and meddlers from interrupting her work, a task you'll be very good at, until a better knight comes along.
She's still attractive as a sorceress. Just saying. I mean, the sorceress was not a make or break for me. She didn't turn into anything hideous. Actually, I think she went up in attractiveness after she became the evil sorceress. It's like, okay, hey, I'm more interested in you now than I was before.
How did you like that, fellow fiends? Well, the sun is coming up and I must return to my coffin. But don't fret, I'll be seeing you soon in issue number 3 of Creepy.
End.
Okay, guys, so that's it for this issue. And we'll have another issue tomorrow because I can go through these pretty damn quick, apparently. So, alright, guys, I'm out, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Comics Corner with more Creepy. Stay tuned.